I changed orgs.
She's a different org now.
You're a different organism.
Orgasm.
Yeah. Orgasms.
Anal orgasms.
Yeah.
Those are good, I hear. Can't vouch, but
yeah.
No anecdotal stories here.
Fitz, you got stories?
Yes.
All right, everybody, welcome to the podcast. You know what it is.
Yeah.
You're here.
You're fucking here, you know.
You're fucking here.
It's the only one that fucking matters. It's the podcast.
The Domesticated Savages podcast.
Somebody's gonna be like, what podcast am I watching again? Am I listening to?
If you're watching it, cool.
Cool.
Cool, bro. Let me know.
Send us the link.
Thanks for tuning in, you guys. This week, I've got Joss.
Hey.
It's April, though. It's not Women's History Month anymore. Sorry, I got Jeremy.
Hey, what's up?
Oh, I've got Fitz.
Hi.
And I've got
those
Joss.
Daggers.
I'm joking.
Obviously.
The daggers in her eyes say otherwise.
Yeah, some things I do for this podcast. You're welcome, everybody. Trying to create smooth, entertaining content. I'm going to suffer. So with the changing of the months to April, no longer Women's History Month, it's interesting that we do one podcast in Women's History Month?
We did two.
We did two.
We only recorded, I think, one, though.
Yeah.
Did we only record one?
Yeah.
We recorded one in March. So with that, I mean, is that because Fitz is a bigot? Possibly.
What the fuck word? What?
Jury's still out. We don't know.
What?
Probably just move on.
Move on. All right, cool. And you got me, Jake, your host. How are you guys doing? So this week we've got some international stories. We're going to pop right into it. No more preamble going on. We're just going to roll on.
No more foreplay.
No more foreplay. Just stick it in the oven.
Straight into the fucking.
So we are going to go to a foreign territory called Denver, Colorado.
Oh my gosh.
Colorado.
French sound like assholes anyway.
Yeah.
Yes. This is in France. Denver, Colorado, France.
That John Denver's full of shit.
He's full of shit.
So
man.
The title, I don't know if you guys heard this story, but Denver police raid the wrong house after officers relied on a phone tracking app, and now a grandmother gets $3.76 million.
Hell yeah. Gosh. Get it, grandma.
Million.
Good.
So essentially what happened is there is a gentleman staying at a hotel and his truck gets stolen. In said truck are multiple firearms. He has four handguns, $4,000 in cash, a revolver, a tactical military style rifle, a revolver, and two drones, and an old iPhone 11. Why you leave all this stuff in your car in a hotel, I have no idea. But in my opinion, you deserve to have all your shit stolen if in today's day and age you're still leaving that kind of shit in your truck. Yeah. So a whole shit ton of stuff and $4,000 in cash, apparently, because who just leaves that in a truck?
Sounds like he was up to no good.
Sounds like he was up to a whole bunch of no good.
What if he just went to the range and he's like shooting a video?
Why does he have $4,000 in cash?
Yeah, what's he doing? Shooting cash money?
He had to pay the payroll for his cameraman.
Well, he obviously didn't pay it if it's still
it's the next day. They're showing up on site so he can go.
It's a multiple
tomorrow.
Day shoot.
Look, yeah. The question that we all need to be asking is
fucking
why the shit do you leave all that stuff in your car?
Yeah.
I don't disagree with that, but yeah. There's plenty of reasons why you would have that stuff in your car. Like,
yeah,
you'd be traveling with that stuff.
If you're up to no good.
No, you're good.
Or if you're up to some shady shit.
Because this is America and fuck you.
Weren't this story out of France?
Hold on.
Well,
get your country straight, Jeremy.
We own France anyways, right? Yeah. Bailed them out a couple times.
A bunch of times.
So.
A couple times that I can
remember. They don't
remember.
Speak German. Probably would have done them a favor if we let it happen, though.
We should have just let them speak German. Yeah.
Fucking New Germany.
Fucking assholes. Yeah.
The Nazi pancakes would be off the chain.
They
I'll tell
off
you that.
The chain, dude.
The Nazi crepes? Oh, wait, we had Nazi pancakes here, didn't we?
Yeah.
The German pancakes.
So.
Sorry. He has his truck stolen.
Yeah.
And so he starts to use the Find My iPhone app. Find My iPhone app comes to an area and it doesn't show, you know, how sometimes on the Find My iPhone, it'll give you like an exact location or it'll give you a general radius.
Yeah.
This one shows up a radius. In that radius are six houses.
Because it's an iPhone 11, so it's old.
Yeah.
Older,
right?
One, it's stupid technology
it's a
anyways.
Piece of
iPhones
shit.
Are stupid.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Anyway, so the police take the report. He shows them the next day that his phone pinged in the morning and in the afternoon at the same spot. But again, it's a radius. So for whatever reason, they use Ruby Johnson's address. And in
that's our grandma.
That's grandma. Yep. That is the victim of the raid of the SWAT hit. So Denver police detective writes up a search warrant.
How do they get a fucking warrant?
Bro, it gets even better because the sergeant approves it. Yeah. So Detective Gary Stab, Stabe, S-T-A-A-B. Sounds German.
It's like Saab. Stop.
Saab. Detective Getty Staub, who was investigating the stolen truck case, writes the search warrant affidavit for grandma's address. Sergeant Gregory Bushy, B-U-S-C-H-Y, Bushy?
Bushy.
Bushy, who approved and signed the affidavit. The attorneys for the officers in the department haven't spoken with this news outlet. It says the sole basis Detective Staub identified for connecting the crime to Miss Johnson's address was the truck theft victim's use of the Apple's Find My App.
Dude.
That was the only thing that they had linking to that house. And again, it's an area that encompassed six total houses. So they essentially just like stabbed in the dark, chose her house, wrote up the affidavit. The sergeant reads the affidavit. So for us, it has to go through a judge.
First, we write a search warrant, right? And then it has to go to a district attorney or somebody. They review it and
say,
you got to change this. You need to add this. This doesn't look right. So our district attorney has to approve it.
But essentially, it has to get approved by a judge.
Yeah, yeah. Once the district attorney signs off, then it goes to a judge
to
approve.
The judge has to.
Then a judge approves
it. They say nothing about judge approval in here. I'm assuming that they have a judge approve it.
But is this anything like, did they do a knock and talk?
No.
Nothing.
So grandma's chilling in the shower. She hears a bullhorn.
She's got one of those like upright bathtub showers. She has the door you walk into.
She gets out. She puts on her bathrobe and she goes to her front door. And all she sees is armored personnel carriers and a whole bunch of SWAT team guys there pointing rifles at her, telling her to come out.
Hold on. She goes to her door?
Yeah, she put on her bathrobe.
Because they knocked.
No, they're yelling at her through the bullhorn. Oh.
They're bullhorning.
They're like, bullhorning her. Yeah, this is in the
residents of 1234 whatever street.
Okay, they're bullhorning her because they've focused in. Why do they have a warrant then? This is weird.
That's
okay, keep going.
I don't know.
This is weird.
This
is weird.
Sergeant approves the warrant, so they write it up. They get all the SWAT team guys there. They're yelling at her. She comes out in her bathrobe. They cuff her, throw her in the back of a car. She's back there for hours while they're searching through this car, right? So again, if you're looking for what's in the warrant, one of the smallest things on there is going to be your guns and things that go with it, right? So you're looking for bullets, which
can fit anywhere,
gives you essentially the right to look anywhere. So they go through this house top to bottom, tearing everything apart. They break some
Ming vase.
No. Oh. They break some
the urn of her husband.
Wildly invaluable doll that her son had given her like 30 years ago. And this thing she's saying is like priceless. It's not nostalgic. It's not like that kind of, like, it's actually worth ton of money.
Right.
And then they can't get into her garage. So they ask her, and this is on their police cam video.
They can't get into her garage?
They ask, it's like a detached garage. And so they ask her, hey, is there a way to get into your garage? She says, yes, there's a garage door opener. It's in the house. It's here. You click the button and it opens the garage door. Okay, close the door. They fucking battering ram the back door.
Oh.
For no reason. They just ask her how to get in, and then they just decide to batter ram the back door.
Not gonna do that.
Why do they need a battering ram?
Because they're bitches. They're French, dude. They can't kick in that back door. Parlez-vous français? Oui, oui, ha, ha. So they do all this damage, do all this crazy stuff. They can't find anything, obviously, because it's
not her.
Yeah. Jeez. So she gets a bunch of attorneys. She sues. She can't stay in her house. Like, she's so traumatized from this whole ordeal. She's like living with her kids now. And so they just this past March, she won $3.76 million in damages. And the jury found that Detective Staub is liable for $1.25 million in punitive damages, and Bushy is liable for $1.26 million in punitive damages. So this lady's getting like $6 million.
That's the best International Women's History Month story I've heard, I think.
Side note, here's what really happened. She actually did it. She's guilty. She did it. She wanted to move in with her kids for a long time, but they didn't want it. They're like, no, you're not living with us. You've got your own place. She goes and steals the shit.
This is the long game.
Yeah. She buries it like under the floorboard where she knows they're not going to look.
Yeah, yeah.
So detectives get there. They can't find it. And she's like, I can't live here. I'm living with you, kids.
Oh, grandma's a mastermind.
She did it.
But now, it's not even, the kids don't even feel like they're out of place anymore because grandma's worth about $7 million.
Yeah.
So
they're
now,
cool with it.
They want her around all of a sudden.
So it's a win-win for
It's a win-win.
It's a win-win for her.
Mastermind.
Mastermind, dude.
Yeah.
That is absolute mastermind.
What the fuck is happening?
Good on her.
Yeah.
Good job.
She won.
So it gets even better. And I think the city is paying their punitive damages to the individual officers. The article goes on to say that both of the officers are still employed in their patrol division. So they're still doing exactly what they were doing. The Internal Affairs Bureau did a review of the incident. The review did not result in formal discipline for either of them. No policy violation. violations were found. In addition, there has not been an update to the policy in light of the raid at Johnson's home. We have not changed policies related to search warrants.
So there has to be some information not in the story that we're not
missing
getting.
Something here. So there's like, no way this they is, keep
this
on
is
with
everything
what
from
got.
The affidavit and the at the bottom, the last part is their PR guy, Sheppman. Is this like a bunch of German dudes that just live in this town?
Apparently.
Holy cow. Those are German sounding names, right?
Europe.
So yeah, so that's they responded and they're like, yep, we haven't changed anything, yada yada.
Yeah, I know you said that, but the thing about it is it feels like something's missing because for them to change nothing after a clusterfuck of an incident happens like this,
and they're out millions
leads
of
me
bucks.
To believe where was the oversight, where was the shortcoming, what caused this to happen? Because where we work, that wouldn't happen unless there's egregious oversight on somebody's part. That's what it comes down to, or multiple people's part.
Yeah,
because if I've got guys who have a call like that, they're like, hey Sarge, you know, we've got this car that got stolen, it's got all these guns and stuff like that, we did the Find My iPhone app, it's over in this area, cool, let's go check it out. We get there, it's a freaking area, there's six houses there, and I'm like, okay, where's the truck? Don't see the truck here.
Okay, bye.
Don't see the truck. What else would indicate that this could possibly be the house and indicate that you know, that's the house we're gonna look for?
Yeah.
Well, nothing else, because they didn't say shit about it, like having any other indicators.
Right, correct.
They just like randomly threw a dart and found this lady's house.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like. That's a big oversight right there. If I'm the sergeant on the scene of that, I'd say, you can't pick the house out. You can't just randomly say one house, or you can't invade all houses.
Yeah.
Because the iPhone can be in one place. So you can't invade all houses, and you're not going to invade just one random. So that's a big oversight. So the officer's fucked up there. The sergeant, he didn't stop it. That's fucked up. It goes to, if the same process we have, like goes to the DA or one of his advisors.
Yeah, doesn't a judge or somebody have to sign the warrant?
Yes. The DA looks at the warrant initially, like, okay, you're just going to, why this house? What other indicators do you have for this house? Well, you know, they're going to have to say that it should.
There has to be something.
In the story, they said the radius is covering six houses. That's going to be a question you're going to ask is the DA.
Like,
six houses.
Why this house?
I'm pretty sure the process.
Specify in your warrant, why that house?
I'm pretty sure every process to get a warrant has to be verified by, I mean, a judge is the only person who can sign a warrant.
Yes.
A police officer can't sign a warrant.
Yeah.
I mean, that's.
No, you can't.
And so it has to go to a judge.
A warrant comes from a judge.
And so if there was some huge gross overstep, why is this judge not being held accountable?
Yeah.
Right? Like, you approved this warrant on the shitty information.
Yeah.
So the fact that it's just the police department.
They never do. They never
do
worry about that.
But I mean, she's suing everybody. I mean, I think you'd throw the judge in there
Hells
too.
Yeah,
but,
I would too.
Yeah.
But
plus he's most likely to be able to pay it.
Yeah.
More than the officers.
But even then, you're going to sue him, and then he's going to have the city and state and the district.
Yeah. Right. Who's gonna have just to sue everybody.
Yeah. Sue everybody.
Well, and there's even in the process, there's more stuff. So in this
sue
is
iPhone.
This is a raid that happened in 2023.
Sue Apple.
In the actual warrant, in the affidavit, the affidavit claimed the missing iPhone had pinged to the address of the grandma's home on the morning of January 3rd, 2021, and again in the afternoon of January 3rd, 2021. So twice they list incorrect dates in there, in the warrant, and they go on to say that the sergeant didn't even sign it correctly. They're supposed to print their name, their ID, the time and date that they reviewed it, and then sign it. The sergeant just signed it. So they're saying, like, the sergeant just, like, glanced at it, signed it, and then just, looks good.
But even then, if that is the actual case, do you think the internal investigation would have been like, hey, the procedures for signing a warrant are such?
Well, that's assuming that this is a good department. And
what department is it, they say?
Denver.
So it's literally Denver, Colorado.
It's a capital
city. It's their capital.
Yeah.
They do warrants all the time. How is this a possibility?
I think they, last I heard, and this was years ago, but they have a, like, an 800 plus men department, plus, you know, 800 officer plus.
How many women are in the department?
I said officer. First I said man, then I corrected myself. So fuck off, Fitz. 800 officer.
Yeah.
800 clump of cell department.
A clump of cell.
Right?
Clump of cell.
Clump of cell.
Clump of cell.
Clump of cells, COC, cocks?
Clump of cells.
800 cocks in that department?
Basically.
COCs? No?
Now you're saying dudes again?
Clump of cells. Everything in
I got you.
Paramilitary organizations, we like the abbreviation.
I got you. So you've got this, you've got Denver.
Yeah.
Denver, Colorado. The capital city, which is a bigger, it's not some podunk town
in
the middle of nowhere. These guys are doing warrants. It happens. Yeah. You know what happened, dude? They're all high. They're all smoking weed.
On that oxygen.
Out of their minds.
Oh, weed.
They just didn't have the freaking ability to truly look at in detail.
Yeah.
Because they're just freaking up in the clouds, bro.
I've heard that sometimes seems like you have a really good idea, but in reality, it's not.
Yeah, marijuana is a mind-altering substance. Yeah,
exactly. So that's what happened, because in Colorado, you can smoke that ganja.
They're like, this happened on the third day of January, the year 2021, in the year of our Lord.
What?
2 years ago? Yeah, let's fucking SWAT hit that bitch real quick. Let's hit that house, guys. That sounds like a great idea.
The phone's probably still there after 2+ years.
Yeah. I'm feeling inspired.
To go steal a truck?
No, you guys can take care of the logistics. Put it like I will be the person that is wrongly accused. You guys, you can figure out where to hide the truck and whatever.
What the hell is happening right now?
And she wants us to steal a truck full.
She wants that 3.76 million.
Yes.
Oh no, we could do more. I would go after iPhone. Sounds like Granny didn't, or Apple. And then obviously we would split it, you know.
Yeah.
I like how we're coming up with this plan on an podcast episode that we're about to drop.
We've done that a bunch of times though. And it's all said in jest.
Joking.
Is it?
This is not a playbook. Unlike what they're trying to do nowadays with all the bullshit that's going on around here. Like the Terminator.
I was gonna talk about shit balls.
Yeah. Anyway, so we'll wait on that one though. So
good for her. She's getting a payday.
I just wondered, you know, like we said,
there has to be more to the story.
There's something
because
how can they not change any policy?
The way it played out and the reaction, the fallout does not make sense. They're paying out all this money, but then there's no fallout on the back end.
You're not going to change anything. There's no discipline. So you're saying that there's no fault. Basically, it's like, yeah, this just happens. Price of doing business.
They did everything they're supposed
to do. Sometimes there is a price of doing business.
Yeah.
There is. But in this instance right here, we see so many shortcomings. If all the details are there and nothing's missing, then there's a short sight. There's a shortcoming on somebody's part. So if you don't fix that, if you don't amend your ways, you're going to repeat that down the road.
Well, and what happens to the next person that happens to?
That's what I'm saying.
I would be,
Well, we see this on our own department right here.
Yeah.
If you have something that happens, it's something that shouldn't have, like there's a shortcoming or somebody messed up. Now, if you don't take action to correct those and to change a policy or do some training and instruction,
it sets
a precedence.
Yes.
To say now, anybody else who does this, you can't freaking come after them or not, you know, instruct them or hold them accountable, discipline them, do retraining. Well, fire,
let me ask you this, right? In this same line of questioning, we're talking about liability essentially.
Yeah.
Who gets in trouble and is held liable for these certain things? This, what we're talking about is something wrong happens, policy, procedures, training are changed, and then moving forward, you're held liable for those things if you do it in the
new update. Yeah.
What happens? This is just hypothetical. I'm not saying that this does or doesn't happen. Let's say hypothetically you have a supervisor who gets, or you have an officer that gets promoted to a supervisor position.
We're going hypothetical on them.
Hypothetical. 100%.
Hypothetical.
146%
This is not based in truth or anything that's really happened.
Purely fictional hypothetical scenario. 100%.
Musings of your brain.
Yes.
Okay.
So you have an officer that gets promoted to a supervisor position.
Okay.
And receives no formal supervisor training.
Yeah.
If that supervisor gets in trouble for doing something incorrectly, would then that organization not own the liability for not properly training that person?
You'd absolutely think that's the case.
But who the hell would promote someone to a supervisor and not train them at all?
That's a beautiful question, Jocelyn.
Yeah. How do they expect them to act
that
in capacity?
That is a fantastic question.
What standard are they being held to?
Yeah, standards? I act to the standard in which I was trained.
So that's what we talk about on field training.
Yeah.
So you got a rook right now.
I do.
And with the rookie.
For those of you not aware, Jeremiah here is back to being a field training officer.
Jump back in the field training officer.
Big mistake. I can just say that right up front.
I'm glad you are.
I told him the same thing when we pulled up. We need good people training. And
sorry, I derailed that.
But no, that's an excellent question though.
Yeah, right? It's weird,
and that's something that I would imagine that if there was an agency that did that, there may or may not be large numbers of employees that are asking those same questions.
Yeah.
And year after year, I would assume that those agencies just continue putting out supervisors that are untrained.
I mean, even in a lot of aspects of most departments, to be an officer, you have to go through training, go through the academy, whatever.
In-house,
or a lot of different states.
Like a state
post state standards. Post,
yeah, academy. Right? Then you go to the department you're going to, specific standards. They might put you through a formal training of their own.
Say, hey, you know, you've been trained. Now you're certified to be a cop. Now we're going to train you on our specific
policies and procedures here,
what we do here, which aren't really different than the state. I mean, the state kind of teaches you the general law, but then you get to a certain jurisdiction. It's like, hey, here's our their city codes or ordinances or a county.
Hone stuff in.
You get to the city or jurisdiction, then you get the nuance of that specific location.
And so you're trained and then you become a cop. And then in most places, like you want to become a detective and then you get picked up, but then they still like put you with another detective, like, hey, we're going to show you how things run around here, how we have to do stuff.
Yeah. But even then, before you become, let's say you do want to go to detective, a lot of times what they're going to be looking for is what type of formal trainings have you gone to prepare yourself to become this detective?
Interview and interrogation.
What kind of certifications do you have?
What kind of stuff like
interview and interrogation you're talking about like specific, if you want to go to like homicide, what kind of homicide trainings have you
gone
to?
Or dope, like
robbery,
dope training.
Yeah. So if you want to be a freaking accident investigator, I mean, God forbid, but
all these,
you want to be an accident investigator, what kind of trainings have you gone to?
There's all these like nationwide trainings you can go to.
You get certified, certificates for
hostage negotiator. You want to be a hostage negotiator. You got to go to hostage negotiator.
Oh, that's a perfect example too. You're a hostage negotiator.
Yeah.
So did you go to a formal training before you started as a hostage negotiator?
Yeah. I had to get certified. There was an actual test.
Just get put in there and say, hey, talk this guy off the ledge.
Yeah.
I was like, people are murmuring. I actually had to take a test.
I don't think you have the balls.
Did you get on the ladder of the ladder truck, the fire truck, and go up there and like handcuff yourself to the guy?
Yeah.
Like, now you're going to fucking murder me?
Do you really want to?
Do you want to? Let's punch him in the face and just pull him off?
Yeah. So you have to go get trained. And then even once you're trained, like, you still go out and you still observe, because training in the classroom versus real life is very different.
It's like academy.
Yeah.
Like, so you go through the academy and you get done at the academy, you pass all your tests, get all your certificates so you can become a police officer and have a gun out on the streets and, you know, take people's rights away from them. They don't just put you out there by yourself now.
No.
You've got to go out and learn from the streets. Yeah. Got to get out of them streets. And learn on them streets.
Get some real life experience.
Exactly. Learn from the hard knocks. So you get out there. They don't put by yourself, though. You're rolling around with another cop who's been a cop for a minute, knows how to do the job, hopefully. Yeah. So they're training you, but they're also grading you, making sure that you're up to snuff.
Yeah.
And then at the end of that, you have a test week where this is like, you have to pass.
Basically,
if not, you can be fired, or they like retraining and extensions.
But it's like the last, it's like ghost week. Like, we're riding together, but I'm not here. You're going to act as if you were by
solo
yourself.
Solo competent officer.
The one thing I will say about FTOs and ghost week that I'm sad that we went away from was plainclothes FTOs.
Yeah.
Like,
but I just don't understand how you have departments who they're like, hey, you want to be a supervisor? Okay, now you're a supervisor. Go supervise. Okay, where's my supervisor training? Where's my courses?
Yeah.
You going to send me like away? Do I go away? Is it like in another part of the state?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is.
Or
so
is there like an online class?
Imagine something like this, right? Something like this happens in this hypothetical department, and that sergeant is now sitting on the stand and they're asking, well, you know, when were you trained on this? I wasn't.
Never.
You never received training? I never received shit other than stripes on my uniform.
And that is so wild.
And a pay raise. That's the only thing they gave me.
Even in the military, don't you go to like...
There sure is. You have NCO school. You've got team leader school.
Officer candidate school.
We've got OCS if you're going to be an actual bitch and go the officer route. For our enlisted side, there's all kinds of trainings.
Chief warrant officer, all kinds
of CWOs, they have their own school.
I have never worked at a fast food restaurant, but I would imagine at Chick-fil-A, if you want to be a manager, you have to go through manager training.
There's some type of...
There's some type of something.
And it's probably their own internal program. You probably sit down and watch videos or go to a location, but they're still training.
Better than nothing.
Why do they do that?
Because they want you to be an effective, efficient leader.
They want to set you up for success.
For success.
So everybody else can benefit from you and your training and your abilities.
Yeah.
But if you don't set them up for success, you're doomed for failure.
Yeah. If they set you up to run a store successfully, they make more money.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. At the end of the day, that's what corporate businesses want. They want more money, so they want leaders and supervisors to be as effective as possible.
Yeah,
as
effective and efficient.
Yeah, because they make more money. It should be the same thing in public service.
So now we look at public service. Of course, you're not making money off of the police department, but
they just
save yourself fucking millions of dollars if you effectively train your supervisors and your officers. It's sad if you're leaving it up to the office. And this is awesome for the guys who are out there on the streets, you know, the sergeants and lieutenants and the guys themselves. If they're bolstering each other up and teaching each other, taking each other under the wing, like, okay, you're my boy. Let's get you ready for this. Mm-hmm. Okay, you're a new sergeant. I'm a sergeant who's been a sergeant for, you know, years and years. I know how to do this job. Let me give you some instruction. This is how we handle some stuff. This is what we're going to do.
That's a good mentoring program.
There's a thousand ways to skin a cat. Yeah. And that's the problem when you don't have a formal training. You're going to get a thousand different ways that things are being done, which leads to confusion. people want to know how to do stuff the appropriate way,
because
there's a standard you can adhere to and make sure that you're following it. When there's 1,000 different ideas out there, it's like, which one do I like? Is it the right one? Maybe, yes. But is it the one I should have used in the situation? Maybe no. Is the person who's my supervisor going to like what I did? I don't know. There's 1,000 different ways to do it, which is bullshit.
Yeah.
It brings convolution.
So Jeremy, you as a trainer, you get paid a little bit extra for doing that, right? I mean, nothing crazy, but a little something, something.
It's like a couple $1,000 a day.
I get a free big gulp.
So you as a person who's trying to promote to sergeant or from sergeant to lieutenant, you go through all that fucking testing and then they put you on a list according to your scores, right? One through however fucking many people tested. So now you're on this list of individuals. The first one, maybe two, might get promoted immediately. You're going to get promoted immediately because we need the bodies but that's oversight on the fucking department part. That's bullshit. That shouldn't happen. You should have the list ready to go with no fucking vacancies. So the guys can have a time before they actually promote to get the trainings done, to do ride-alongs with their FTOs before they're required to become a sergeant and actually act on the street.
Yeah, it's like the top five could immediately
go to a training kind of school. Training. Yeah. Yes, and do ride-alongs. And if you're going to promote, it should be required that you go out there and fucking ride along.
I think if you're on the top five, if you're on the top five.
It's not, though.
No.
It's so fucking stupid. Because I would imagine that you get people who are on the list to promote who haven't been in any type of patrol or anything for
We've had
so maybe a detective that hasn't been on the streets for like 9 years.
Yeah, and then he's going to go supervise guys on the street and they know more about what's happening than you.
I remember this one. This person who got promoted to sergeant had not been in patrol for 20 years, been in dicks or like some special functions for 20 years. And then they promote and they come out to the street. They don't know what the fuck they're doing.
Think how much changes in 20 years.
Oh, so much had changed, especially in the time frame from when they hadn't to when they, now they're Sarge. That's a big fucking deal.
When I left patrol for my peer support role, and then when I was forced back, that was about 21 months.
Yeah, I was going to say about 2 years.
A lot of stuff changed.
A lot of stuff
in
changes.
Just 21 months.
And you
forget
stuff.
You're talking 20 years.
20
and
years.
The it's stuff a new that I don't game. Have to deal with, I don't sharpen those investigative skills because I don't need to.
Your focus is on something else.
We had a detective get promoted and come out to the streets, and we were looking for ag assault. I think it was ag assault. We had canines out. We had a Plan C set up. This certain supervisor. So for those of you that don't know, Plan C is a containment, right? So if we have a suspect that we're looking for, we're going to put up officers on blocks, essentially a big grid. And we're going to try to get them to hunker down. So we have officers on every corner, and we're going to have roving officers with everyone's lights on.
Because we're going to bring canines in to track
drones.
Canines, drones, whatever, to try to look for our
guys
for
going
our
grid search.
Yeah. And so we have the setup, and I'm roving around. And
with your lights on.
Correct.
Because
with lights on.
They're going to see that and not want to
so
move.
So you have guys set up at four corners.
Yes. Yep.
And
it was a fairly big net that we had thrown out there.
Yeah.
And so I think we had like three or four different
rovers. You always
go
big and shrink it down.
Yes. And so as I'm cruising past kind of the command post where the initial officer was set up, the supervisor kind of flags me down. And so I pull over and we're talking for a minute. And they are wondering why we have officers with lights on driving around. And so I'm explaining to this newly promoted supervisor, well, they're rovers, you know, we're trying to help with the Plan C. And the supervisor then asks me, well, if we have everyone with their lights on, wouldn't that make that person just hunker down and hide? I sat there and stared at this supervisor.
I'm glad you got to that conclusion, but you're thinking
that
that's a bad
thing. Almost that exact expression on my face, and I told the supervisor, yes, that's the goal.
That's the idea.
And they were like, well, I don't think that's right. I don't think that's what we should be doing. And I sat there with the most ridiculous expression on my face. I had no response for one of the few times in my life. And the initial officer comes walking over, and he's like, hey, Sergeant, blah, 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 this is what I've got. And the supervisor then proceeds to ask the initial officer the same line of questioning. And we lock eyes, and we are both in our heads,
you and the
like,
primary
what
officer
in the yeah what in the actual fuck.
Yeah,
so I look at the initial, I said,
you didn't ask the sergeant like, okay, so what would you want the bad guy to do?
Yeah, what did we
continue
what
running
we, right,
getting out of our Plan C? That's what you want them to do?
So I locked eyes with the initial. I said, do you have this ridiculousness? Because I'm going to go back to roving with my lights on.
Yeah.
And he just gives me a thumbs up and I take off.
Oh my god.
And in my head,
that was
like,
you that supervisor talked to? Oh my hell, because that story is infamous.
Yeah,
it's infamous. It's been told many times.
Initial officer no longer works for us, but after
the initial officer doesn't?
Yeah.
No, neither does the supervisor. supervisor.
Right.
Yeah. Of course. Okay. Well, I would have just put a spell on
She's
him.
Like, let me get my crystals. I'll find him.
So you want me to do a divination?
Yeah.
Divination. Did I ever tell you guys the story about the time she tried to speak with spirits beyond the grave for me?
Yeah. Well, no, she's done that to me too, Bart.
She's done that to me.
It wasn't about spirits. I was at the shops writing paper and she pulls up and I roll my window down because it's a supervisor.
Yeah.
She's like, hey, how's it going? I'm like, good. She's like, what happened when you were 7? I don't know. It was probably pretty fucking cool. I ate cereal, watched cartoons.
You could have gone to HR or something like that. Like, that's.
Hell yeah. And she's like, no, so something happened in your childhood. And I was like, no. And she's like, yeah, you need to talk to your family.
There was this one time in a porta potty.
I fell in.
A TP.
It really fucked me up.
I wasn't 7.
And... A TP porta potty?
Wasn't 7, though.
You weren't 7?
And I was probably like 8 or 9.
Did something happen when you were 7? I don't care to know what it was, but like,
dude,
what
you should have just started crying and roll the window up and drive away.
Oh my God.
And just be like, I need to talk to HR. Roll the window up and drive away.
That would have been worse because she would have been all over you after that.
Dude,
yeah, not if you tell her you're going to HR. She'll leave you the fuck alone after that if she's smart.
She wanted to do a blessing in an altar. Dude, it was weird. She wanted a picture of my baby.
Why do we even have NICUs if we have witches who can just heal them?
You're like, let's forget medical science. We've gone far afield from...
Yeah. The moral of that story is proper training is essential.
Yeah, proper training.
Yeah.
And honestly, you should probably hold people accountable when there's a fuck up. Yep. I'm all about that.
Yeah, you have to. There's no other way to improve.
Like, you know, people are always like, oh, fuck the police, this, that, or the other, why this? You know, if the cops do what they're supposed to do, I'm all for it. But when cops fuck up, I want them held accountable.
Yeah.
I want their good cops out there. On the cops, the thing about it is, first and foremost, I'll just end on this, is my number one obligation, responsibility, the thing I keep in the forefront of my brain is I have a duty to uphold the Constitution, right? And what does that mean? The Bill of Rights. You, the citizens. Our rights, too. Because if you guys don't have rights, I don't either. Because I'm a citizen as well. So my number one goal is to uphold the Bill of Rights, the rights that are there, that it cannot be alienated by government. I need to make sure that we uphold those rights. Yep, absolutely. So that's what it comes down to. I want everybody to be of mind and ability to make sure that you are upholding everybody's rights. That's what it comes down to. That's why we enforce the law, because when somebody breaks the law, you're infringing upon other people's rights.
Yeah.
But also, I don't want cops going and infringing upon citizens' rights. I don't want that shit.
Yep.
That needs not happen. What's next?
So let's go to Indonesia.
Indonesia. Is that a cousin of Micronesia?
Yeah.
Not.
No?
No.
They're not even the same?
I think Indonesia is part of Micronesia.
Oh, it is?
They're family.
Micronesia is like a territory, like an area. Yeah.
They're cousins.
So they have like Micronesia.
They're the Nisians.
Speaking of cousins, we have a question for you. Define trailer park cousins. If I just said, yeah, these two individuals are here, they're trailer park cousins.
That could have a couple different meanings. Okay. One, it's your actual blood.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, having sex is fine, but getting married,
there's no blood ties.
Oh, okay.
What would a trailer park cousin be?
I mean, that's like someone you live next to.
Right.
It's like, hey, this is my cousin. We live next to each other. Cool, share toilet paper, probably one toilet.
At the same time?
Yeah.
All right.
Efficiency.
You probably shared moms when you needed to breastfeed. Water,
You're dropping a deuce and you're like, hey, I gotta take a piss. So you just like spread your legs and you come pee between your legs.
Yeah. Water's not cheap, baby.
No, it's not cheap. Twofer.
Well, that's why incest is because, you know, when you're young, you bathe with your cousin.
What?
When you're young, you bathe with your cousin, but by the time you're 16, 17, they're like, you still got to bathe together. It's like, oh, okay.
Oh, makes sense.
Yeah.
You can't quit.
Can't quit it.
Nobody likes to quit her.
Like I always said, she may not be your wife anymore, but she'll always be your cousin.
Best advice. I liked that when Jake asked that question, you initially went to like incest and sexual.
Mm-hmm. The trailer park. Stuff.
He just assumed that that's where the conversation
so,
was going.
So like, well, with that.
Not my first cousin.
It was funny because we were talking about trailer park cousins and I was like, we should ask Jeremy. He's going to know. But that's pretty much what I was thinking. I was like, trailer park cousin is somebody who's like, what I would reference is like, okay, Jocelyn says, well, it's me and my friend, her kids are friends with my kids, so they're kind of like trailer park cousins, because like my bestie and her kids are friends with my kids, they're like trailer park cousins, kind of.
You grew up right next to each other, you did everything.
What really ties it together is when now the females who are friends, they've been married, and now they've divorced, and now they're married to the other person's former husband.
Yeah.
That really cements it in.
Isn't that just like swapping?
That's kissing cousins.
Yeah, kissing cousins.
What?
All right, Fitz.
Sounds like there's a story where that happened.
We just were chatting about it. Just something came up last night.
What?
Trailer Park Cousins. Have you ever heard of Trailer Park Cousins before? Because if not, we need a fucking TM that shit. That registered trademark.
Well,
that's funny. Trailer Park Cousins. I like that one.
We can put a shirt out.
I like it. Trailer Park Cousins.
So when I Google it, all I see is a shirt that says, we broke up, but he said we could still be cousins.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
Oh my gosh.
Ex-wife, first cousin.
That is so gross.
Let's make a shirt that says ex-wife, but first cousin.
Is it legal to marry your cousin?
If it's
No, I think hold it's on, like no, you have
back
to
hold on. Back that off. I think back it's the word second, off there. Don't
if
say
you're
states.
Second.
I think it's second or I think you have to be third.
Beyond second, I think you
I
can.
I think it's third.
You also can marry your first cousin if you're past reproducting age.
If you're 50 or older, you can marry your first cousin.
I don't think I have any first cousins that I'd want to marry.
Hell no. I don't. No.
If you're past 50, you can legally
only
marry
only white
first
people
cousin?
Come Wait. Up with this kind of shit.
You tell me that royal lines haven't done this in freaking
what
yes.
is this,
other
Game
countries.
Of Thrones?
Yes. That is a thing that happens across the world over.
Yeah, maybe
they don't
in,
want to dilute
maybe
the freaking...
in white people Anglo-Saxony like hierarchy.
All monarchs everywhere are just incest.
Yes.
These two over here, the married couple, are talking about promoting bloodlines. Okay.
Oh,
so like
that's
it's
not
encouraged.
What I'm, talking about. I'm not encouraging it. I'm just saying it happens more than people would think.
You guys just said that it happened all the time in royal bloodlines.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean they were encouraging
I'm not
it.
Encouraging it. We're saying that it
if you have
happened.
A king and queen that are brother and sister, how are you not fucking encouraging that?
I don't have a king or a queen.
I never encourage it. We're saying it fucking happened. Where are you missing this? Where are you missing this? We're not saying we're encouraging
I'm
it.
I'm just blown away at the fact that we're talking about this and that you white people think that it's okay.
We don't think it's okay.
Well, and it goes to show that.
So for the second topic of today, let's just be clear. Jake and Jocelyn approve of of sibling marriages.
I actually really don't.
Sibling copulation.
Look at the English, the British monarchy, the most famous one. And look at, they have some weird looking. Yeah. I don't
that's
condone that.
Because they're ugly.
I don't condone that.
That's because years of inbreeding.
Because they're producing from the same ugly ass bloodline.
Yeah.
Or they could just be ugly people. Or
no, it's the defects. It's
them chromies.
Chromosomal. They're bad.
Yeah. They're fucking dumb.
That's why the one prince went to the American colonies to find his bride.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, I gotta,
and everybody's hating on him.
He's like, I gotta freaking open up that bloodline. I gotta open up the gene pool, baby. We're getting stagnant over here with his genes. Look at me. I'm looking like a piece of shit. I want to give my kids
actually,
some
he's
hope.
He's not a bad looking
He's the
prince.
Best looking one.
Yeah, he's not bad looking.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, the other, actually, I don't think either of them were.
William's not too, he's not too hot.
Is he not?
Back in the day, maybe before
he
got married.
He was cute as a kid. Yeah, like a teenager.
Is he the next in line?
Yeah.
Harry?
No, William.
William?
William, Prince William. Or the Duke
He should change his name to Will I Am.
Or whatever.
I am Prince Will I Am.
Yeah, if the king dies, then he's number one. And Kate has cancer.
Oh, does she?
Yeah.
See, look, that's him then and now. Like, as a young 20-something
Kate,
and now
the,
as like a
40-something. The Duchess.
Oh, yeah, he got ugly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the other brother look like?
He's a ginger.
His hair's like flaming. I'm pretty sure
Is Harry the one that married the American?
Yeah. He married Meghan Markle.
He's number two, right?
Yeah.
He's a ginger.
Is he a ginger? But he's the one that served in the military.
They both did.
Oh, they both did.
They have to. It's a requirement.
Oh.
Even the queen.
One of them went badass.
But
and
Harry
ended
like
up going,
actually
like, special forces
yeah,
and he was like a sniper
which one
bit.
Harry did
Harry yeah the oh, second the one that married the American
William was a pilot I think he was like
what
a pilot
a bitch.
But
be a real prince get down
See,
on the
he's,
ground
he's not ugly
dirty.
He's
a good looking
he's
one
good looking.
Even the queen served in the military
oh did she really
back yeah. in the 50s yeah nice. She was
we should her. We should have him on the podcast
okay let's just get a fucking prince out here
we can do it where there's a will there's a way
do it
where there's a will I am there's a way
yeah we could totally do it let's do it.
Yeah.
I'll put you on that, Fitz. Contact, please.
I'll fucking send an email. I'll send an email.
Send him an email.
Invite him. Him and Megan.
And then when
they're so keen to speak about...
They'd have a blast.
And they're so keen to speak out about their situation. Like, didn't Megan do like an Oprah interview
They both did.
Shit?
They both sat down with Oprah.
Hey, come on, tell your story to the podcast.
They left the
royal family or whatever.
He renounced his claim, didn't he?
Yeah.
That's right. But he's straight up American now.
We live here.
Welcome to America, bro.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Now I want to do this.
Got to be on the podcast.
I'm going to reach out to him.
Can't reach out.
We can have whiskey and guns.
Hell yeah.
We'll get him on.
Yeah. We'll teach him about taxation without representation.
Yeah.
Well,
he knows all about it.
We'll have a tea party.
Yeah. We'll have a tea party.
No tea kettles in sight. Just a big old tub of water that we're just going to dump tea into.
No, what we're going to do is we're going to put him on a little skiff out on the lake over here.
And we're just going to get out on it. We'll get wrist rockets.
How fucking awesome would that be?
We're going to get wrist rockets and launch tea bags at him.
Yeah. Well, that would be a real party.
So does he still go by Prince Harry then? Because, I mean, he's still a prince, even if he's not.
Is he the artist formerly known as Prince Harry?
He's the pretender to the crown of Alsace-Lorraine.
What?
Yeah, that's his formal title.
Okay.
Pretender to the crown of Alsace-Lorraine.
Because he was Prince Harry, and I know he was like lord over some other stuff too. They have
Sussex.
Like big long titles.
Yeah
Sussex.
Because William is the Duke, and she's the Duchess of Windsor.
York.
Pudding. They're over pudding.
Yeah, pudding.
Yeah.
What about the peppermint patties? Are they over those two?
That's their cousin, and her name's Patty.
Peppermint patty.
Have you ever had a peppermint patty?
Of course.
Oh, no, in the sense I'm meaning.
Negative.
You know, where she What's puts a peppermint patty in your mouth and gives you a blowy?
No.
Talk about refreshing.
That would sounds kind of painful.
No, you'd like it.
No.
It's pleasure good. And pain mixture.
Oh, yeah.
It's like blood and semen.
Mix it together.
Works sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to do it together, bro.
How do you explain nipple clamps then, Fitz?
Exactly.
I don't use nipple clamps.
But how do you explain them?
Yeah.
Why do I have to explain something that I don't participate in?
Pleasure and
in?
Pain.
Pleasure and pain.
To some people, I'm not pain one pain. Of those people. Remember, I'm a no why guy.
How do you explain anal pegging?
Yeah.
It's very easy. You get something put in your butthole for
little,
pleasure.
A little pleasure and pain right there.
Who says that it's painful?
You get a little bit of blood. Can't be all that great.
Yeah.
You're breaking capillaries.
And that's where you miss blood and semen.
There should be blood involved.
You're breaking capillaries.
Yeah.
Bro. Sometimes you got to stretch it out. It's like a caramello.
Exactly.
Did you get us an answer on his official
yeah,
title?
Yeah, so technically they are still Duke and Duchess, but they don't need to be addressed as
need.
His Royal Highness or her By Royal whom? Highness.
I would have done it anyway.
I know. I'm like, do people, so, because he renounced
because
his title.
He, renounced
he
his
still
claim,
has
yeah. okay.
that, and they There's, said that he is still fifth in line to the throne. That doesn't change, like he could
because it's behind so,
inherit the throne. It's behind William
and
his kids.
Kids.
Oh, so then what did he renounce then? I thought he renounced so, his claim to the throne.
So as the Duke he, of whatever, they have like formal duties.
Right. Renounce his royal duties. And so he's like, I'm out.
But if he's living, oh, okay.
So
okay,
there's a ton of sense. Weird laws. Like if you were to dine with the queen at Buckingham or the king, like when they stop eating, everyone has to stop. So like if she takes one sip of her soup and she's like, I'm done. And you've got like the, you know, good steak right there. Like, oh shit, well, I'm done too.
Well, I'm sure she can give permission to like,
no,
carry on.
She doesn't.
Keep eating. She yeah, doesn't. I'm sure she would.
Nope, she wouldn't.
She was a badass.
Nope, she flexed on bitches, bro. She's like, hold on, I'm on sure, a little soup. I'm done.
I'm sure she flexed when like, she needed to.
Enjoy looking at that
But she
steak,
did some cool ass shit. Like, she was a cool ass granny.
So, I recently saw a video of your boy, Cillian Murphy.
I love me some Cillian Murphy.
And so, he's Irish, right?
Yeah. Yes.
And so, there's a picture of him meeting, I think it's William, and he has his hands in his pocket.
Oh, yeah.
And they're saying that there's significance behind that because back when there was the troubles between the English and the Irish, on Ireland, there was like troops of English soldiers. And they were ordered to shoot anyone with like hands, whether they were, doesn't matter if they were in uniform or not, hands in their pockets, you're shooting, you're marking these motherfuckers. So a bunch of Irishmen were murdered because they had their hands in their pockets. So he meets William, keeps his hands in his pockets.
Irishman did?
Yeah
Cillian Murphy did.
I remember when that picture came out.
Peaky Blinders?
Peaky fucking Blinders.
He was in.
Oh, yeah. He was in Inception.
Yes.
Yeah.
We just watched that.
Yep.
So, yeah. And so he did as a, like an homage.
I remember when that picture came out. There was a lot of I didn't know the background to it.
Do you think he meant to do it?
Oh, yes. 100%.
If you look at the expression on his face, he's very much like...
There was also...
So why would he do that? He's like, come kill me?
He's like...
It's like a protest thing.
He's like,
hey, that's like when people were taking pictures with Obama. Like when Obama would visit the troops, they would take pictures with the president and they would cross their fingers. You'd have like entire swaths of like units taking pictures with the president and they would... A gaggle of them would have their fingers crossed. That's like when you're a hostage and you're forced to take pictures and read stuff, you would cross your fingers.
As
or
like
you try
message?
To cross your legs or your hands and cross anything crossed over was like a little message that you were in distress. So that was like their whole thing. There was somebody that was taking pictures with Hillary Clinton and he tried to do the fingers crossed and one of like her aides pointed it out. And so he had to uncross it. And right before they took pictures, he crossed his arms, like not like holding your hands. Like he crossed his wrists all the way over in the picture and he got in trouble for it.
So it's actually Harry that he met.
Oh, Harry. Maybe Harry.
Oh, you
Harry.
Have the picture?
It's a video.
Yeah. So he just keeps his hands in his pocket. Yeah.
He had his hands in his pocket. He did shake his hand and then put his hands back in his pockets.
And there was an Irish rugby player who did the same thing.
Ireland.
So you think he meant to do it?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Intentional.
And he's proud to be an Irishman.
Yeah.
That's the best part.
And you look at the expression on his face like he's not enjoying himself.
He's like, I don't give a fuck about you.
Yeah, well, he smiles and he talks to him, but then it's funny because then he moves on and talks to somebody else and you see him, the look he's giving him as Harry's talking.
So what happened in Indonesia?
So Indonesia.
Prince William there? Prince Harry there?
There is a passenger flight that's going from Indonesia to somewhere else and both of the freaking pilots fall asleep.
Little nap time.
So one of them.
It's a long flight.
You got autopilot.
Yeah. Well, so they'd been woken up. They had some emergency with another flight crew. And so this other flight crew was brought in. And so they're operating on a minimal amount of sleep that's legally able for them to fly a plane. And so they get in the cockpit and they're having this little conversation and they're telling each other like, hey, you know, I'm tired. You're tired. We'll switch off like every hour. I'll go to sleep for an hour. You wake me up. I'll go to sleep. It was like a 12-hour flight or
this
something.
This sounds like patrol back in the day on graveyard.
Yeah, no shit. And so they were like, okay, let's do that. So they start to do that. One of the pilots wakes up. I think it was the co-pilot. Oh, no, sorry. It was the main pilot. Wakes up midway through his 1 hour session. I think it was like 27 minutes. And he looks over and his co-pilot is dead ass asleep.
Mm.
And so he wakes up because they're getting all kinds of traffic in their ears. And it's all these other airplanes, all these other pilots trying to get a hold of them. Like call sign, blah, blah, blah. You know, the traffic tower 123 ABC is trying to raise you. And so they finally respond. They do all these calculations. They are like a couple hundred miles off course.
Oh, shit.
Apparently, autopilot didn't work that
damn
day.
Well, so autopilot only keeps you on your trajectory.
That's just like
it doesn't
control.
Make course corrections because as they yeah. fly, you have to constantly make corrections. These dudes just went straight off for like 30 minutes.
Well, it's an Indonesian flight, so I imagine the autopilot was like a rope tied so the
yeah exactly
to like the ceiling, yeah. the roof and stuff, to different things to keep it straight.
So the sticks just stayed straight, and they're like, yeah, that's good enough.
Yeah, autopilot is only like cruise control. Like it's not going to drive for you.
Yes, exactly.
Keeps you steady.
So you're saying we have cars that can drive for people, but not planes, really?
Well,
I don't think that's true.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Planes basically land themselves.
Yeah, super easy.
They really do.
It's like 3 or 4 buttons.
It's easy, bro. You could sleep.
I feel like this is an episode for Savages Try. Savages Try to Land an Airplane. Dude, we should get an air flight simulator. You can get it on your laptop and then try to land a plane without any formal training.
The trick is when you fly is you drink before and during. So
or just fly Delta. This podcast is now sponsored by Delta. That way next time we have to fly another podcast out, we can get it for free.
No, any flight you drink before and during. By the time that alarm like, hey, we're all gonna die, you're drunk, you're like, I don't give a fuck. Take this bitch down.
Anyways, let's tell some stories from the streets. Tell them street stories. Can I tell a story about a pet accident?
Autoped.
Holy shit.
A ped accident?
Ped accident and an autoped. Just earlier this week, I go out on an autoped, and it's up by the local college that we have. This guy is riding his bicycle into school, and there's a marked bike lane, and in between the bike lane and the curb, there's another parking area you can legally park, right? So there's the curb, parking area, bike lane, and then the normal roadway. Guy's riding his bike down. This lady had just parked her car, doesn't see the guy, opens the car door, fucking hits this dude, jacks up his hand. Of course, he kind of spins out and gets thrown into the roadway, where another car runs this dude's foot over.
Oh damn.
So it's a female driver. They're both female drivers. So this dude just gets double teamed by these two chicks.
He's got tag team.
Ends
bro.
Up going up to the hospital. He's in good spirits. I ended up calling him. I went up to talk to him and he was in the x-rays. Took way too long. So I'm talking to this guy on the phone and I had no idea that the second car ran over his foot.
Uh-huh.
Nobody said anything about his foot being ran over. They just said that he had an injury to his foot. I assumed that it was one of those bicycles that you have the clips, right? Like the street bikes.
Your feet, right?
Yeah, you can clip. You buy you the special shoes yeah, and you clip it. In. Yeah. So I assumed that as he was thrown, it just didn't come unclipped like they're supposed to when he jacked up his foot. So I'm talking to the guy on the phone and I said, hey, you know, I just need your telling of what happened. So he tells me and I got thrown into the road and, you know, and then that's when the other car hit me. I was like, you got hit by a second car? And he goes, yeah, that's the main reason I'm up here. She ran over my foot. I was like, that's how you hurt your foot?
Oh,
I was like, and I said, look, I said, if this is not a message to you from the gods or whoever it is that you speak to, that you shouldn't be going to that university, you know, I don't know, because I'm a fan of the rival school, right? And so he's like, oh, you have to be a fan of, you know, this other. I'm like, oh, absolutely.
That's funny.
So I was like, I may or may not omit some of this information, you know, because you attend that school. And he's laughing. And I was like, other than that, you seem to be okay. He's like, yeah, just waiting for the x-rays. And he was super chipper about it, but he's like, yeah, I don't know if I'm ever gonna ride a bike again. I got hit by a car door and then ran over by another car.
Those bike lanes they put on the outside of the parking stalls, I'm like, why the fuck are you doing it that way?
Stupid.
That is dumb.
Yeah,
it's like you're gonna fuck people up, and obviously they do.
Yeah,
big gulps.
That was funny. I didn't know how to categorize it at first because I didn't know that he got ran over by it, and so I was trying to figure out, like, it's not criminal mischief, it's not an autoped because the car's parked. And so I ended up calling one of the accident investigators, and even he was stumped. And so he called me back before I had spoken with the pedicyclist, and he's like, dude, just write it up as an autoped. Pedicyclist? No,
cyclist.
Just cyclist.
Pedicyclist. Sounds like a pedo.
Sounds like somebody who's ditting the little kids on bikes.
Yeah. Pedicyclist is what it's listed in the state accident investigator form. When you put it in there, it says pedicyclist. I didn't just make that term up on my own, fool. What
that
the hell?
That doesn't make any sense.
Why are you
pedicyclist?
That's what it says in the state accident form.
Ped means foot, like pedestrian. You're walking. You're pedaling by your
bicyclist.
Feet. So, what else would you be cycling?
You have the people that have the hand cranks. You've never seen those?
But what's the difference?
What are they?
Cyclist.
A manocyclist.
Manocyclist and a ped. You are asking the wrong person. I'm simply going by the terms that the state has defined. find?
Pedos. Pedocyclists.
I guess.
Wrong pedo.
That's why I don't ride bicycles.
Yeah.
Pedocyclist, not pedocyclist.
We should be running those ones over.
Yeah.
We should be. Yeah.
Pedocyclists?
But not their feet.
No.
Their whole body.
Their wieners.
Their wieners.
Their heads.
That's a good story, though. That's funny.
That was fun.
I like it.
We had a good time on the phone.
Speaking of accidents, I got a story. This was sadder.
That was fun. Let me tell a sad
Let
one.
Me bring it down.
Let me bring it down a notch.
So we get a call from this guy who wants to collect his children from his ex-mother-in-law's house because his ex-wife is on life support.
Oh.
She's going to die. And she's pretty much on deck. She's pretty much.
She's on deck?
Yeah, she's pretty much brain dead.
For that upper room. The upper room.
Pretty much. So this guy's like, I need to collect my children. My ex-wife was involved in a scooter accident, like one of those Freebird scooter things in Majigger. Oh, yeah. Whatever they've got.
The electric ones you just wheel around.
Yeah, the electric scooter. She's involved in an accident where she crashed and cracked her freaking dome, and now she's going to die. And he's like, I'm going to collect my kids. They have kids that are like ranging from like 4 to 9 or something like that. He hasn't been involved with his kids at all since they broke up like 4 years ago. Oh. Hasn't seen the kids. So the 4-year-old doesn't even know this guy.
Sure.
At all whatsoever. But now he's like, well, she's going to be dead, so I'm going to collect my kids. I'm like, okay, well, let's do some research, find out what's going on. Because he gives us like bare bones. Like, she's going to be dead. I want to collect my kids for my mother-in-law. Okay. We'll facilitate whatever. What's going on here? Well, now he wants to get his kids, but mother-in-law is scared for their welfare.
He wants to like pick them up for the day, or he wants to take custody of them. Okay.
So my guys call me, the officers, they're newer guys, and they're like, hey, Sarge, this is what we got. I said, okay, well, I said, I don't know who this guy is. He hasn't been involved with the kids for 4 years. Like, now he wants to come get the kids. This is like an ultimate fuck you to the dying wife.
Right.
Like, tell me more details. So they tell me some of these details, and ultimately I say, well, where are they right now? Are they at home with grandma? Or where's grandma at? Well, grandma is up at her daughter's deathbed at the hospital with the children who are up there too at their mother's deathbed. Mm-hmm. Mother's on life support. They're all at the hospital. And this guy wants us to go up there with him to facilitate the transfer of the children to him.
At the deathbed. Oh.
And I said, no, negative. We're not going up there. And the guy's like, well, he does have, there's like no custody in place. It doesn't say that mother has full custody. They never went to the court for that type of deal. And I said, well, I don't care. So the fact is this, mom's technically still alive. She's on life support still, but she's still alive. And she left him in the care of the grandma. So if there's a dispute between people, mom's still alive.
Kids
are going to stay with grandma.
Yep.
They're like, okay, I said, write it up that way. So they told the guy that. And I said, if he has a complaint about it, just send him my way and I'll tell him where to go. So they kept it like that and it was okay. Well, a week later, mom's dead now. And the guy's calling in saying that he wants to pick his kids up, right? He wants to pick his kids up. Mom's dead. Grandparents don't have any legal custody over these kids, right, except for the fact that they left, right, the mom left the kids in the grandma's
their
custody.
Care, yeah.
But now the dad has rights to the children and he's the dad. Grandparents have no rights. What do you do?
Status quo still.
The dad has rights. Grandparents don't.
And so, but
grandparents have no parental rights.
So let me ask you this. So
can they bar the dad from getting the kids?
No. Let me ask you this though. Earlier the grandparents said, hey, we are concerned for their welfare. Was that still the case? Like, hey, he's going to come pick him up, but we're concerned, right? We can't stop him from getting the kids, right? It's a civil issue. Right?
Until the grandparents are like keeping the kids from the dad who should have the custody of the children.
Right. But I mean, at that point I'd be like, well, I mean, if she's got serious issues, she should be contacting like the child family.
Yeah, they are. They have. What did their divorce decree say?
I don't know.
Yeah, it sounds like he just walked away.
Especially if it's a divorce that happened in our state, there will be by state definitions. Mm-hmm. There should be spelled out.
I'm assuming what there probably was.
He had paperwork showing that he has custody. 50, of kids.
Right? So it's probably a 50-50 kind of thing.
And,
but it's interesting that he hasn't seen his 4-year-old in 4 years.
Yeah, he hasn't been around for
so
four
maybe
years.
He's just a piece of shit.
Self-admitted, he hasn't seen him in 4 years.
Well,
he's opting not to see his kids.
And he's opting. And the fact that he's calling, he's like, hey, she's dying and they're at the deathbed, let's go right now.
That's an even bigger piece of shit.
Oh, that was a red flag. That's why I was like, no, I'm stepping on that one. But then now the mom's dad and they're with grandparents and the guys are calling me, what do we do, Sarge? I'm like, well, I mean, did you guys go out to the house? Because
Is he there at grandparents' house?
No, he had a lawyer and the lawyer told him, send an intermediary. So he sent his mom over to the grandparents' house, like his kid's grandparents' house, the ex-mother-in-law's house, to collect the children. So now his mom is there calling us saying, hey, I need facilitation of getting these kids. So my guys went over there and they're calling me like, what do we do? I said, well, did you talk to the in-laws yet? Well, we knocked on the door. Nobody's here. well, that fucking solves it. Like, well, they're not there. Like, we can't give you something we don't fucking have.
Yeah.
But they're like, well, what do we do in the event that they are here? And then they talk to the dad, and the dad's like, well, I'm just going to go to their school and pick them out of school, take them out of school. I'm like, that's your right.
You can't have stop that.
You traumatize these kids who might not even remember
I'm telling you.
Just lost their mom.
This is a tough spot. This is what I wanted to bring up. But we talked about, Joss and I talked about this because I told her about the whole situation. Think about it is, what's the law say and what's right? Because that doesn't coincide in this instance here.
Yeah.
Right? You got to protect the dad's rights to his children.
Well, and maybe,
but you also want to protect the children. What it comes down to is, what is best for the kids?
Probably to stay with grandma, grandpa.
What is best for the kids?
Maternity.
That's where they've been. That's assuming that dad is a piece of shit, though. Maybe mom was a piece of shit.
Maybe.
Maybe mom withheld him.
You can't make those assumptions.
Yeah, but right. If he legally had a right to them and she was not allowing him, then.
If mom's refusing it.
But if he gave a shit, he would have. Like, would you just allow, like, would you just be like, oh, okay, she's crazy. She's not letting me see my kids. No, you would do something about it.
So it just came down to like, what's best for these children? Like, you look at it, it's like, well, it's probably best. They've been living with mom for the last 4 years.
Sure.
They've been with grandma because they live with grandma too. It's like, the grandma has probably been helping taking care of them. Mm-hmm. The mom left the kids in her care while she was out. Like,
and I'm not saying that mom is a piece of shit. I'm just saying there's a possibility.
There's some unknown factors.
There could be something.
You don't know.
Yeah.
But
it could be either one of
those. That's a tough situation to be in.
But even then, it's like, tough.
Like, what do you do?
You're essentially turning a 4-year-old over to a stranger.
But in my opinion, if grandparents are in there and they're not answering the door, you go knock and like, hey, sorry, lady. They're not answering the door. There's nothing we can do. Try another day.
That's what they said. That's what it came down to.
But they're going to find him eventually.
But I think, yeah, eventually there could be something. But if the grandparents are worried, you know, if she comes on a Monday and the police go knock and like, oh, they're not answering. So let's say the lady's going to try Wednesday. You can try and set up some sort of emergency court process. Like,
that's what they're doing.
So avoid the in-laws, you know, this dude's mom who's the intermediary. Avoid them for as long as you can. While you're getting your emergency hearing shit set up and be like, look, he has had nothing to do with them, you know. And then once you get the final paperwork, you can be like, well, you can't come take them because they're ours now.
Yeah.
But I mean, if he happens to catch him while they're like being dropped off at school and he picks them up,
can't do anything about
that. Anything about it. Like, we'll document what happened.
It's a civil deal. You're worried about
it. I
have a quick little about kids.
That was shitty.
About kids and traffic accidents.
Yeah.
So it was a TA and this group of kids was going to a park where they're walking on the sidewalk. Well, this old guy backs out of his driveway and doesn't see there's a little girl, runs her over.
Yeah. He told me about this one.
And you see, like, I had to take her shirt because you can see the tire mark on it. She ran over her chest. She lives.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But she has to go to the hospital. She was like 5 or 6, little girl. And so I cite the dude for negligent something because with accident with injury or something like that.
Yeah.
I was like, you're kind of being negligent. Like, it wasn't just one kid. It was like an after school program where there's like 30 kids and they've got like 2 or 3 chaperones.
And he just backs the fuck up.
Yeah. And he was like, well, a group had gone. I didn't think there were any more. And I'm like, well, thinking and knowing are 2 different things here. And you didn't do either.
You saw kids in the area. You have to assume there might be more.
Yeah.
You have to. Like, and that's what a good person does.
And I was like, you didn't do either the former or the latter.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
And so I go up and the little girl had like a ruptured spleen and there were some serious injuries, but she was going to end up being fine. Like she's fine. But come the court date, the guy shows up at court. In the area we sit, there's a big, like, we're kind of on the upper level and there's a big table, but like there's some vending machines and stuff because it's a 2-level. There's courtrooms on the bottom, courtrooms on the top. So you just go in and wherever your courtroom, you go sit by
it's
your
like
courtroom.
It's like a common area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so there's a bunch of cops sitting there and we start hearing like commotion from outside. So we look at the window and it's the guy I sighted trying to park, almost hitting like people and cars.
Oh, shit.
Oh, my gosh.
And so I watch him for like 5 minutes trying to like parallel park into a space. I'm like, this is nuts.
Yeah.
So he finally makes it without hitting anybody or any cars. So he gets there and then it's time to go to court. And so he has decided to represent himself pro se.
Yes.
How old is he?
Roughly? He's like in his mid 60s, early 60s.
So he's not super old.
No. So obviously we have the prosecutor there and he has himself, but in the galley behind him, in the seats behind him, he has
all the children from the Boys and Girls Club.
Yeah.
Shut up.
No.
Oh, dang. I was going to say, that's gangster. This kid's just pulling gangster moves right now.
So the defendant's there on his side by himself. And so they start and he's like, I'm representing myself pro se. And the judge is like, you sure, buddy? And he's like, yeah, I got it. No worries. So he has taken a bunch of photos photos of the area by himself and entered those in as evidence. Your Honor, I'd like to enter exhibits A through 1000 as evidence. And it's like 20 pictures of sidewalk, the tree, random goofy shit, right? Okay. And so I get up
there. Some selfies.
Yeah. So I get up there and, you know, I do my part. I testify and they're like, okay, now you can cross. And the judge has to explain.
Who was in the stands? Did we ever establish that? Who was in the seats?
Yeah, I'm going to get to that.
Oh, okay.
So the judge has to explain the whole process to this dude because he's not an attorney.
Yeah, he doesn't know the.
So he doesn't know the legalese. He doesn't know the workout. So
yeah.
I get done and the judge looks at me. He's like, now you have a chance to question the officer about his testimony, what's in his report. And he was like, no, I'm good. And the judge is like, okay. And he's like, but Your Honor, I'd like to enter this in as evidence. And so he hands this file of this stack of papers over and the judge is like, wait.
What happened to discovery?
Wait. Has the prosecutor, the attorney seen it? And he's like, well, no. And he's like, hand those to her. And then she can go over them. And then she has an objection. She has to present it to me and then we can decide. And she looks at him and she knows right away, this is bullshit. She's like, yeah, no, I got no issues. So the judge is like, okay. He hands it to the judge and the judge is like, oh, so entered into evidence. And so he's like, Your Honor, see on the photo number three.
It's like a noose he's hanging himself with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, on photo number three, you can see, and I think he had taken, like, he'd gotten in his car and like turned around and took a photo looking out the back of his car. He's like, you can see there's no way I could have seen that the little girl was behind my car. And the judge is like, okay.
Did you say the honor?
The honor, his honor.
The honor.
The honor was.
The honor.
His esteemed eminence.
His royal
the
honor.
Arch lector.
The arch lector.
The high arch justice. Lector. The high justice was like, okay.
Morovia.
Morovia. He's like, okay. And he's like, that proves that I am not culpable for this crime. And then all of a sudden, this lady that had come with him stands up and she's like, you can't have him charged with this crime. This is not okay. And the judge is like, who the fuck are you, lady? Yeah. And she's like, I'm daughter-in-law attorney from Russia.
Nice.
So he had brought his daughter-in-law, yes! Who's a Russian attorney, apparently.
Like a mail order Russian.
Russian,
yeah. Attorney. Mail order bride. It's now a mail order attorney
from like Russia.
Mail order attorney.
And he's like, calm down. You have nothing to do with this.
Nothing.
And so he goes on and she's like, objection, Your Honor. This is not okay. And he's like, I've told you once. I'm not going to tell you again. I will have you removed from this court by our security guards, because that's what they are. Literally, it's And so he's like, and so he has to tell her like to calm down. She's fuming. Dude, this was the most bizarre.
Clown court, bro.
Clown court. So yeah, basically, the honor's like, yeah, dude, you're guilty. Honor. Because that's what she kept calling, Your Honor, you can't
do
this.
Was it a jury trial or was it a bench trial? What the hell?
It was a bench trial.
Oh.
Yeah, there's no jury, bro.
There's no jury?
No. Like this was a bench trial.
So the judge was the only one able to enjoy this. Citizens weren't able to enjoy the circus.
Dang.
And so he's like, okay, I find that you are guilty, but you can appeal it and take it and gives him like the process. And then she's like muttering and she says half a phrase in Russian. I don't know what the fuck it was.
Yeah. Das vidanya.
Yeah. Das vidanya. Bujmoy. And so I'm still sitting there like next to because I was dismissed because obviously he didn't want to cross examine me.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to cross dress me, but that was another thing later.
Yes, later.
But it was the wildest. Daniel. I'm like, this is like surreal. This is the shit you need to see on like court TV.
No kidding. Yes. It would be an episode of court TV.
That would be but,
Judge Judy.
So I kind of mixed a sad child story with an accident and it was a happy ending.
Thanks for bringing it back up.
Little girl is fine. The guy got found guilty. The mail order Russian attorney
got deported.
No.
She's like, I object to this deportation. It is illegal.
It's illegal. You cannot do it. She's part of 2155 or whatever.
Into this country. Get out.
So it was bizarre.
Came over with a bratva.
Oh, what?
The bratva.
The brotherhood.
What's a bratva?
That's a big organized crime over in Russia. They're called the bratva.
Oh.
It means the brotherhood.
I think she's part of 21555. You guys haven't heard about that?
Enlighten me.
So, dude, this just broke on 60 Minutes like 3 or 4 days ago. There's a phenomenon called the Havana syndrome, where people would get like these really bad headaches and they couldn't figure out what it was. And so now there's a bunch of officials and their families who have, one lady's had to have like multiple surgeries, plates put in her head, because what it comes down to is there's this secret group of Russian spies here. They actually had a chase with one in Florida where they invent these like beams that they can like ultrasonic frequencies shoot into your head and like disorient you. And they've got proof that's going on. I was on around 60 minutes. It was nuts.
Really?
Yeah. Dude, it is nuts.
Dang. We had these things. I'd heard about these instruments that we had in Iraq where it looked like a kind of a big satellite dish. Probably, I think it was like probably between 18 to 24 inches wide. And what you did with it is you would point it at vehicles and it would send sound waves and you could bounce them off like the rear view mirror or the side mirror. And they would use it to shut down drivers that they were concerned about, like out on the road or around bases and stuff. And it essentially, it would make you like instantly nauseous. You would start throwing up. It would essentially debilitate you enough
like
for
a
enough
sonic
time
directional
that,
weapon.
Yeah. That
those are things.
Yeah. That UN or that US troops could show up and take you into custody or plant C4 on you and blow your truck up, whatever. Whoa, crazy dang. Nonsense, SEAL crazy stuff they like were doing. That, but
so
I'd heard about that stuff. I'm like, I wanted one for our
they
base.
Have sonic directional weapons.
So
they can make it so you can't talk.
Yeah. So 60 Minutes did this story and there's this unit, I think it's called like 21555. It's like some subset of the Russian government. So in Florida, they go on this high-speed pursuit of this dude in a Mustang. They end up spiking his tires. They get him, pull him out. He's a Russian citizen. He was in the Russian military in like technology. And all of a sudden, after being there for like 3 or 4 years, just tells the Russian, I'm out. I'm going to go to America to be a chef. I'm like, cool. You know all the secrets. You have top secret clearance.
Yeah,
you're free cool. to go. Yeah. Go be a chef. In the vehicle, they find his passport. They find bank accounts, like information, like Bank of America, 75 grand, like all this information. He's got access to money. Some device that he has, it looks like a diagnostic tool for like you plug in your carport to diagnose. But what this one does is it races like the GPS where you've been, how fast you've been going. Like it erases all the information on this rental car he had.
Yeah.
So this dude gets deported and they're like, and our own government was like, you know, with your history and now having been, because the FBI came obviously, like been contacted by police here, going back to Russia is probably not the best thing for you. You can stay here. He's like, no, I'm going back home. So as soon as he gets back home, he gets re-conscripted into the military, sent back to Ukraine, killed on the front lines, like within a couple weeks of going back home.
Dang.
So then they do
my
this
friendly fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they do this article about how there's this Russian general or whatever, and he's got a son who was trained. They've got like picture of this little kid on a sniper weapon, like trained since he was little to be part of whatever 21555 or 29555.
Part of the SVR, GRU.
Something.
Dang.
And so they actually have recordings of like captured cell phone, like this kid. And so one of the victims, this lady, she was the wife of some State Department official.
Oh, that's where the tie-in is.
Yeah. And so she like was in the laundry room doing something and all of a sudden got dizzy, got nauseous, fell over, has gone to the hospital. She's had to have like 4 surgeries. She has plates in her head now. They were able to capture, and there was Ring video footage of this car in front of her house, nice Mercedes. And at the time, because he's like some government high up official, they have, I mean, obviously they probably got satellites or whatever capturing all the calls. They've got him on this kid in this car on video or on audio saying like, am I supposed to leave all the buttons on now? And yeah, it's been deployed and like weird shit.
Dang.
So look, it's on 60 Minutes.
Dang.
Yeah, it's unit 29155.
29155.
Okay.
That's what it is.
Interesting.
It's nuts. The Ruskies, they're coming. They're here.
The Ruskies. They have a TV show about it, that undercover couple, their sleeper cell.
The American?
The Americans.
Yeah.
It's historical fact. Don't fucking snort
We've
into the microphone.
We've talked about that show on here before, right?
It's
all true.
I believe it because it's, what's her name? Felicity.
Felicity Huffman?
I know you're talking about.
The girl, no.
The gal who's on it.
Felicity Jones?
The girl who was in the show, Felicity.
She's from Felicity.
And then
Carrie Russell.
Carrie Russell. She's the female in The Americans, the main female.
Okay.
That's real. She lost her whole career because she cut her hair.
True story.
Yeah, I think a lot of that is going on. You're going to see more and more of it, of course.
Especially with how lenient, like, look at it. We're busing motherfuckers up to New York.
The president of the, oh my gosh, the Border Patrol Labor Union, national president, whatever, released some press release saying that they're getting like dozens of military-aged single Chinese males crossing the border every single day.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it's like, why would they be crossing through Mexico?
That's what Coach says. This is like, that's information that was given by the person who's running one of the organizations down there at the border, supporting the people who work there, right? Well, Coach, he's got his nephew, cousin, who is immigration down there. He's ICE. He's out there on the front lines stopping people from crossing. And he says, dude, half the people crossing aren't from Latin American countries.
No. Yep. Well, there was an article, and I haven't read it yet, but it's saved in my bookmarks. There's an article of a Chinese national that forced his way onto the Marine Corps, or tried to force his way onto the Marine Corps base in California. So I haven't read that story
yet. Yeah, I heard about that.
I'll have to look it up and see. But
so I was watching the Sean Ryan show, that podcast. Yeah. And so he had a dude, I think his last name is Bustamante, former CIA. He's like a long hair.
Yeah, I've seen him. Can't tell where he's from. He's like
super, you know,
you can blend in a lot of places. Yeah,
perfect spy.
Tons of places.
So that's what he was.
I watched that one too. Yeah.
That's what he was for the CIA. He was a former spy.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Sean likes to ask him all things like, so, you know, what would you wear?
Yeah.
What
do you carry?
What do you carry? And he's like,
have on your personal times. He's like, have shoes with laces.
Shoes with laces. Because obviously, if you're a spy, you can't just walk around with like a passport and a gun. Like, it's not James Bond shit, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, you kind of have to blend into the area. So anything that anyone would carry, you could carry.
Yeah.
But you can't have any. So, like, if you got hit by an ambulance and like the cops or the locals came, they couldn't start rifling and be like, American passport, American money. What the fuck's going on?
He's got a gun.
He's got a gun.
We have guns here.
Carry local stuff.
And so, you know, just kind of his tradecraft, as it were.
Yeah.
But he was saying the number one most feared, like, government intelligence agencies, the Chinese, because they, every single one of their citizens, if they leave, even just to go get a better life, they're still very patriotic.
Yeah.
And the Chinese will use them and be like, hey, even though you've been living in this country for 10, 15 years, you're now a spy for us.
Yeah.
And they will do it. And so, the you know, one of the most populous nations on the planet, they have people everywhere.
Yeah.
And apparently created the T-1000 Terminators.
Oh, I was going to talk about that. We didn't get to it.
Well, it fucking worked.
Did you watch it? Did you watch that video?
Yeah, what the shitballs?
No, I know you did. Did you watch it? Did you get it?
I did.
So China has now created an AI robot that is made of a metal that can take form of solid, and then it can transform into a liquid, move while it's liquid, and then reform back into solid.
That's
so
the
they T-1000. Have this video. They have this robot is in a cage behind bars. As, you know, a solid, and then it transforms down into his liquid, slithers out of the cage, and then turns back into the freaking solid. Dude, that's freaking Terminator 2 right there. That's Terminator. That's like, that's
it was
not
meant
a playbook,
to be entertainment, not a playbook.
Yeah, exactly. It's not a fucking play. It's not a how to end the world.
Judgment Day.
Yeah, Judgment Day.
I think soon we're going to see, I think we're soon going to see Skynet.
Yeah.
Genesis.
Well, think about NORAD. What do you think that is?
Yeah, exactly.
These upgrades to systems and stuff.
Yeah.
This will help us automate this, and this automate this, and automate this.
Well, it's just so they can track Santa.
NORAD.
Did you hear how that started, that whole thing?
What, tracking Santa?
Yeah.
No.
I think it was in like the 90s. The lieutenant colonel or lieutenant general, whoever it was over NORAD, some kid had emailed in just like on their normal email thing, I guess. Whatever, like inquiry. Like customer service.
Frequently asked questions. Contact us here.
I think it was like just some kid that had sent in like, is NORAD able to track Santa Claus, you know, as he goes around the world?
Mm-hmm.
And he shot off this response. Yeah, we can do that. Blah blah blah, just like as a joke, and then randomly, like members of his staff just like randomly started doing that, and then it just became an annual thing after that.
Really? How long ago was
I was like 20 years ago.
Yeah, with the advent of the internet, a lot of stuff has changed in the last 20 plus years. You know?
Heck yeah.
I was thinking about this the other day. Actually, I was thinking about this morning. But you know, before the internet, you could buy products that you'd find in like magazines. You know, stuff that
Oriental
was actually
Trading Post,
stuff,
baby.
Yeah, stuff that was actually advertised, and you'd have to pay money to advertise it. Nowadays, you just get on the internet. You make yourself a little website, or even like on a social media, you can freaking pimp your products easily, right? So I just remember the internet was newer, like more usage was kind of happening. Internet's been around for a long time, but it was still kind of in its infancy. And I remember my dad somehow found this website that made these machines that would test your blood alcohol level, like a breathalyzer.
Mm-hmm.
And you could buy it yourself and then install it and then have, you know, people would operate it. They'd put their coin in or their monies in. Like, it actually had a card reader too. So you could like swipe your credit card, and then it would allow you to blow in the machine to test what your blood alcohol level was. Mm-hmm. You could like install it at a bar, and then before people would leave the bar to make sure they weren't DUI, they could freaking pay some money and blow in it, and then be like, yeah, you're good, you're below legal level, you can drive, you're fine.
Mm-hmm.
So my dad bought two of them. We bought two of them, bro, and it was called the Boozolator.
The Boozolator.
We bought two of them, and he installed them at my uncle's bar, and then he was going to install it downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And his idea was, because you could put money in, like physical money, like dollars or whatever, and you could also have it run credit card transactions. And he was going to have it where it's going to be my little part-time job. This one, I was like 16, 17 years old. I was going to go down there and then collect the money fucking out of it. Yeah. But we never got it into a bar down, but you got it at my uncle's bar, and it was utilized. I don't know if it's fucking still there.
There's a couple bars downtown where I've seen something similar to that. But I look at that, I'm like, how many people have put their nasty freaking mouth holes on that?
No, it was...
It gives you a new straw.
It dispenses a straw you blow into
I refuse to believe that. I like the idea of everyone just putting their nasty mouth on on the same tube.
Gross. Okay, so,
so dumb.
I want to go back to the NORAD. I looked it up,
and
it was a young kid who contacted NORAD, but he called them, and he called them accidentally. He thought that he was calling Santa Claus.
Shut your mouth. Saw some, seriously?
He saw some promotion in a local newspaper, and he confused it for Santa's phone number somehow.
He just called NORAD?
How does he call NORAD? 1-900-NORAD?
A young child trying to reach Santa dialed, it was a misprinted phone number, so that it was a department store, was like, you can call Santa. They misprinted the phone number, and it was actually NORAD's phone number.
NORAD's number?
It was 1995.
Imagine all the phone calls they got.
Or 1955, sorry.
55.
Oh, 1955, like, and this kid thought he was calling the department store Santa and called NORAD, and that's where they were like, well, we could
almost 70.
That's even better than the email.
That's even better.
Yeah, that's better. Just
70 years ago, this kid accidentally calls NORAD.
Oh my God.
Think it's a department store to get a hold of Santa. He's like, hey, can y'all track Santa for me? They're like, okay, actually, we can.
Oh, we can track pretty much anything.
We can track all
He's like, we've got him and we've just destroyed him. Thanks, little buddy. Tango down. Yeah.
Oh, you thought he was over your house? You live in Atlanta? Cool. Actually, we just shot it down. Tomahawk missile to the face.
Fucking NORAD.
Can you imagine that department store, though? They're like, you can call, and they list NORAD's number.
Can you imagine, like, MPs, like some colonel shows up at your corporate office? Hey, guys. How the fuck did you get that number? Who's your spy? Who's your contact in NORAD?
Like, oh, it's
we
just
need
this
your
guy
employee
who
listing.
Can't proofread. Goofed up the numbers, and it happened to be yours.
How do you goof up the number that's NORAD? Was that intentional?
I don't know.
How do you goof up NORAD? Yeah, interesting. That's fun. We're going to transition over, Fitz's specialty, to the Savage of the Week.
Whatever. We already established that Joss was the one that transitioned earlier in the episode.
I did transition to a different organization.
I thought it was a transfer.
A different orgasm.
A different gender organization.
She transferred to a different orgasm.
Anal.
We don't know what an org stands for. It could be
Jake already explained. It's an anal orgasm.
There you go. Yeah, let's roll into the Savage. Jeremy's going to breathe the Savage this week. Jeremy, what you got for us?
So speaking of anals, we're going into the anals of history.
The anals of history.
And we're going deep in the anals.
Deep.
Ooh. So.
How deep?
To the taint.
Oh, dang.
Right. We're going all the way.
Deep.
No?
To the taint? The taint's right outside the butthole.
No. Your taint. Going into the anals. That is not deep, you're right.
Yeah, it's only like 3 inches. Like, how are you trying to...
All the way to the balls.
To the balls?
To the balls.
Balls deep in the anals of history?
I was going to say elbow deep, but okay.
That's deep. Out of the nearly 3,500 Medal of Honor recipients, only one was a woman. Just one. And then this is for Fitz. And her medal was actually rescinded just before she died.
What?
Yeah.
They rescinded it?
That's a savage-ass move. Oh, I'm wildly curious now.
Damn.
So everyone meet Dr. Mary Walker.
What was that little kid's phrase where you like clap your hands?
Sally Walker.
Oh, Sally Walker.
So she was born in Oswego, New York, to abolitionist parents who encouraged her to pursue like education, kind of open-minded thinking for the time. And in 1855, so deep, she graduated as a medical doctor from Syracuse Medical College.
Okay.
She went into private practice for a few years, but then the Civil War broke out in 1861. She wanted to join the army as a surgeon, but wasn't allowed because she was a woman.
She's a girl. That's dumb.
Yeah. Because of her credentials, she didn't want to be a nurse, so she chose to volunteer for the Union Army. So she worked for free at the temporary hospital set up in the U.S. Patent Office in Washington, D.C. And she also organized the Women's Relief Organization to help families of wounded who came to local hospitals. But in 1862, Walker moved on to Virginia, this time treating the wounded at field hospitals throughout the state. In 1863, her medical credentials were finally accepted, so she moved to Tennessee, where she was appointed as War Department Surgeon. Her position was paid, and it was the equivalent of a lieutenant or captain.
Okay.
She,
sounds like it's pretty warranted.
Let's yeah. Keep going. She herself was captured in April 1864 and held as a prisoner of war for about 4 months.
Caught by the rebels, huh?
Yeah. She and other Union doctors were eventually exchanged in a prisoner of war swap for Confederate medical officers. According to the National Library of Medicine, sources say Walker had been captured intentionally so she could spy for the North. There's like little evidence to support that.
Yeah.
After being released, she went back and kept doing her medical stuff.
Okay.
But at one time, she was the only one. She would cross enemy lines to go help Union soldiers who had been down across enemy lines. She made multiple trips.
Dang.
Over enemy lines.
Into the field of war.
Yeah, into the field of war.
To help the guys out on the battlefield.
Yeah. And so she was at like the Battle of Fredericksburg. Some pretty notable battles.
Yeah.
Where she was pretty instrumental in like saving a lot of lives.
Dang.
So going on, in November 1865, having left government service for good, Walker was awarded the Medal of Honor by President Andrew Johnson. Even though she was a civilian who had never been a commissioned officer in the military, or she'd never been in military service, the civilian status is why Walker's medal was rescinded in 1917, 2 years before she died, so she doesn't have it anymore.
That makes sense why it would be rescinded.
But listen to this. Walker refused to return the medal, though, and continued to wear it until she died 2 years later.
Hell yeah.
I wouldn't blame her for that.
Hell yeah.
But I also don't blame the government for rescinding said Medal of Honor.
So
if she wanted to join the military, they wouldn't let her.
But that
she could join as like a nurse, but she's like, I'm a fucking doctor.
Capacity, yeah.
But why? Like, I want to be part of the
fucking military. Bro, because it's the mid-1800s, dude. That's how it was back then.
So that's pretty dumb.
It ends kind of on a happy note. 60 years after that, 1977, President Jimmy Carter restored honor to her name and made, you know, efforts to say, hey, she has it.
Hold on, what? He did what?
Jimmy Carter gave her back the Medal of Honor.
I thought you said that they couldn't do that.
He's the president. He can do whatever he wants.
He's the president. He can do whatever he wants.
Like the one good thing that fucker did?
Fucking peanut farmer.
That's pretty gangster, though, for a doctor to go behind enemy lines to
help soldiers
wound. Yeah, like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good for her.
So,
especially after getting not essentially spit on, but denied jobs and stuff that she wanted. Denied. Initially.
Then she does it anyway. And then she wins the medal. And then she can't, like, never mind. You couldn't have that all because you're a woman.
Mm-hmm. And she's like, I'm not giving it back to
you.
Well,
it wasn't because she was a woman. It was because she wasn't in the military.
But why wasn't she in the military?
Because she's a woman.
Because she's a woman.
Ipso facto.
Because she tried. She tried to get in there.
See, if she just said that she identified as a man.
That didn't work.
They would have locked her up and burned her as a witch probably. I identify as a man. You're a witch. We're going to burn you.
Exactly.
So no woman has gotten the Medal of Honor since? Wow.
Just one. Mary Walker.
There have been some women that have won some pretty other really, really good award, like medals, but none that rise to the level of Medal of Honor. That's like the ultimate prestige, the Medal of Honor. Like you, the requirements to be awarded or even reviewed for the Medal of Honor are so outrageously high that
we had dudes we've talked about have won multiple.
There was a Marine that won two, and he would have won his third, but then they changed the rules because
they didn't want him to have three.
Having two is ridiculous. Yeah, so you can only get one now. But there is a Marine. I think he was a general or a lieutenant colonel when he was up for his third, and they're like, no. They're like, two's enough. Three's outrageous. Everyone can only have one.
That's dumb.
Yeah.
Because what if you do some exceptional shit? Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. That's funny.
Could you imagine showing up to like a formal event
with
you
three
have
like fucking
you have five Medal of Honors around your neck? Like they're just all clinking every time you turn.
That's awesome.
Clink. Hey, Jerry, what? Clink, 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 clink. Fuck.
So didn't they want to make Washington a 5-star general? I think.
What?
Because there's only been.
Which Washington?
George.
The father of our country?
Jorge.
They didn't have stars back then.
So posthumously.
Posthumously.
So they wanted to there's only him. Been.
Oh, they wanted to give him a, like a supreme allied
there's
commander.
Only been 1 6-star general living in history.
General Eisenhower.
Dwight D.
He was a 5-star general. That's the only U.S. general that's ever been a 5-star.
What about Pershing?
Blackjack?
Yeah, Pershing.
John J. Pershing? I think he was a 5-star.
There's only been one, and that was the supreme allied commander, which was Eisenhower.
There have been 5 5-star generals.
Who?
George C. Marshall, Douglas MacArthur, Dwight D. Eisenhower, Henry H. Arnold, and Omar Bradley.
I don't know those last two. The first three are from World War II. I would assume they all have to be from World War II, because that was the only time that I believe that 5-star generals were, that rank was given. Marshall, I believe, was in the Pacific.
Pershing is the only American to be promoted in his own lifetime to General of the Armies, the highest possible rank in the United States Army. Allowed to select his own insignia, Pershing chose to continue using 4 silver stars. So he guessed was a 5-star, but just didn't want it?
Sounds like it.
Oh, yeah, it says Pershing in here.
When was Pershing? Is that World War II?
World War One.
1877 to 1924.
So the five that I mentioned, those all were
World War II. Yeah.
It says only 3 U.S. officers have held a rank higher than General of the Army. That's what you just said. Pershing, George Washington, and Ulysses S. Grant.
So, yeah, Pershing is
what's
the
higher
only
than the General of the Armies? What, do they list the rank, like what the name of the actual rank is?
This honor has been informally referred to, so the General of the Armies.
Yeah.
The General, like, he's over everything, basically.
Right.
So they said, this honor has been informally referred to as being a 6-star general.
Okay.
The highest official star rank in the U.S. Army is a 5-star general called the General of the Army.
Right.
So he's of the armies, plural.
So he's like the guy.
He's the general of the armies.
Yeah.
So General Pershing is the only one to receive that
in his lifetime.
In his lifetime, because George Washington and Ulysses S. Grant,
they were all given
posthumously.
Yeah. It says only three U.S. officers have ever held the rank higher than general of the army or fleet admiral. Yeah, like you said, it's Pershing, Washington, and Grant, who hold the rank of general of the armies. And Pershing had it while he was alive.
That's cool.
Blackjack Pershing.
Who were those last two that you said? Because I know Marshall was in the Pacific.
Bradley, after the
tank. The other two were in the European theater, but I don't recognize the other two names. Does it say where they served? The first one, I believe Marshall was in the Pacific War, or he was in the Pacific Theater. Eisenhower and, oh my gosh, who was the other one that you said?
MacArthur.
Oh no, was MacArthur over? Yeah, so MacArthur was in the Pacific, and Eisenhower was in Europe.
Henry H. Arnold and Omar Bradley.
That's the tank,
Arnold,
I think.
And Bradley.
The Bradley tank?
The Bradley fighting vehicle. Yeah, but where was he at?
It doesn't tell me. It tells me where they're buried.
My guess is they're probably in the European theater, because that's where we dumped everybody, and we just let the Marines run around and jump from island to island.
So Pershing battles wars. He was in the Indian War, the Apache War, Sioux War, Spanish-American War at the Battle of San Juan Hill, the Philippine-American War, the Moro Rebellion, the Second Battle of Budajo, Battle of Budbagagsgak, the Russo-Japanese War, the Border Wall War over with Pancho Villa, World War I, German Spring, the Offensive, Battle of Hamel, Battle of Belleau Wood, Second Battle of Belleau Wood? Yeah.
Wait, so Pershing is a Marine?
He was an Army guy.
He could have been in the Army. Yeah, he could have been that Army. Because there were more battles in Belleau Wood than just the one.
What was it? Was it Retreat Hell? Was that from Belleau Wood?
The French forces were retreating and pulling back to regroup, and they told the Marines to join them, and company commander was like, retreat? Hell, we just got here, bitch. And then they proceeded to beat the shit out of the Germans.
Yeah, he was the United States Army. Yeah. General of the armies.
It's Blackjack Pershing. He's a bad motherfucker.
Anyway.
Well, that was fun. Shoot like LeBron.
Brick.
LeBron James.
What song were they singing, or what were they singing when there was some game recently where every time he got the ball, the crowd was chanting something like, you're a bitch. You don't even know who Malcolm X is. You fake ass bitch.
There we have it, boys and girls. The Savages have completed another episode. You guys tune in, check it out. Hit us up on all of our social medias. You know where they're at. Need I say more?
For your audible pleasure.
OnlyFans.
I just dropped an amazing plot for OF.
Give the people what they want.
Is that what the people want? Are the people yearning for that?
Yes, they are.
Yes.
Low budget productions.
Well, that's it, guys. Always remember,
stay savage.
Stay savage. Don't stay savage. Be bitches.
What was that for an object?
It's called foreshadowing.
Happy International Women's History Month.
Last month.
That was a month ago.
Belated.
No, it's every month.